Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to Storyboards with S. Charcoal, brought to you by A Team of Voices. A Team of Voices is a group located on allpoetry.com, one of the largest poetry sites in the world. And I always like to say thank you to Deborah Lee for running the group and the Blog Talk page so we can geek out live. Blog Talk page is sponsored by AP Taylor Foundation. Thank you very much for that. And every night of the week, we have different shows, different hosts, different themes. I would like to welcome you to a musical march. We're going to kick off the first show in March on Storyboards with, of course, Cry Baby. And I've got a few more musical shows lined up. I will warn you, these are tribute to the musicals. So there is a lot of music to be had, which means I have to explain a lot of stuff. So a little bit about the opening music. And he's going to be mentioning quite a bit because he does a lot of the music for this soundtrack, is James Intfeld. And I hate to break your guys' hearts, but even though Johnny Depp did starred in this film, it was not his voice singing. It was James Intfeld, who wasn't even on the credits of the film, which I thought was really weird. But he was born in 1959. He's an American rockabilly musician, singer, songwriter, performer, actor, and film director from Los Angeles, California, United States. Born in the Netherlands, his parents moved to California when he was 1 year old. James began entering talent contests as a country music singing teenager and located in North Hollywood, California. He originally played in the Rockin' Shadows with his brother Ricky, and a group disbanded when Ricky and the bassist Patrick were asked by Ricky Nelson to join his backing band, the Stone Cannon Band, but both brothers and Patrick were killed in 1985 plane crash, which also took Nelson's life tragically. The Rockin' Shadows had recorded Intfeld's song "My Heart Is Achin' for You" for the 1983 compilation album and the Best of LA Rockabilly. So, like I said, we will be featuring quite a bit from him, and we'll give you a little bit more information later in the show. And without further ado, I would like to invite on Raconteur. Hello, Raconteur.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing all right.
Awesome, awesome. And I also would like to invite, yeah, I would also like to invite on Hatter. How are you doing, Hatter?
Thank you very much. I'm fine.
He's got like a bunch of elves.
I'm okay.
What's happening?
Okay, great.
That's awesome.
And I would also like to invite on AP Taylor. Hello, AP.
Hi. How are you going?
Good. How are you?
I am well. I am one.
Good. We're celebrating Cry Baby, a musical march. I'm pretty excited about it. I see it drop down Jenny the Deep, but I know that you are usually a runner, so You can actually, if you have a poem, you can drop it down first.
If that's okay, I there's a tune by Melanie Martin in this film, which got, it was hugely popular. It got like 120 million views of the video. And basically it was her being Hatter. So I had to do something different. And instead of her being the Mad Hatter, I've actually got her as being Jack the Boomstool. So it's a little strange, but anyway,
okay.
Work with me. This is A Few Beans, yeah? And it's up on the board now. It goes like this. For bends that stalk by fun, a few beans for a cow I have done. Bopping shoots now done, climbing high, feeling them. The ain't clouds spread, grey fades as the crime scene led. This land weans me to a killer, netting a slide to a yacht stealer. I'm feeling gin warmth trace, so high almost in space, into a giant's world displayed. My size so small I crane. I must be nuts, I'm rad. Off on an adventure bad. My parents think I've lived the well done, swapping a cow for beans in the sun. Over the cloud past Yonkers, here I am in a police fix doctor. I tell you the secret post come. So what up and crazy, drinks to the bar. Most people are switched to very little erudition. Thud, thud, drums, fissure, yells, voice spatters. I am the giant, yes, you don't matter. Stealing that hole from the base, you've gone too soon. He lost weight, I must be nuts, I'm mad. Up on an adventure bad, my parents think I'm picked for well done. Swapping a cow for beans in the sun, over the clouds for us Yonkers. Here I am in a place kick doctor, I said he would keep the coast calm. So what up, I'm crazy, thinks it a bar. Most people are in common.
Absolutely brilliant. I didn't have to clap soon enough. Yeah, I thought that was absolutely brilliant. And I love that you kind of went into that song. Like, it was feeling really skippy. Like, I was just, and what a wonderful way to celebrate Musical March by actually bring a piece that is musical. Uh-huh. So I thought that that was absolutely brilliant. I love how you made the connection. And just the, where was that? That section. So have you ever seen Into the Woods?
Yes, I have, yes.
Okay. So, well, first of all, you deserve this. Okay, here we go. I was a little late on it, but I got there. I got there. So I think this song, I was not there yet. So I was so intently listening to you that I didn't cue it up because I was right there with you. But I feel like this should be interjected into the woods. I feel like it would really jive with it. And so they have all those little mini stories and the one about the Jack and the Beanstalk. I thought this was really cool. I always loved that story. I think it was, like, the first time I saw it was that Mickey Mouse version, and maybe that was why I was, like, a Mickey Mouse kid when I was younger. And then as I got older, obviously, there's all these different versions. But I'm still partial to that one probably because I saw it first. But I thought this was so wonderful. I loved the refrain. I must be nuts. I must be nuts. I'm rad. And I thought that was, and I liked it even more because when you start talking about obviously the Mad Hatter, you're expecting me to say mad, but it's different. And I liked that little twist. And then of course, when you go down to the off to an adventure bad, my parents think I've flipped, because obviously they're like, what are you doing? You didn't do anything that I asked you to. You traded the cow for these terrible beans. And I just love that you put into a song. It's just so creative. You did it with such spunk. I don't know. I was anybody else like bouncing when he was like reed singing? I was
absolutely
kind of bouncing. I was just to the beat. I thought that was so wonderful. And then you had all these unexpected twists too that have nothing to do with the storyline, but you really just kind of put it in there and went with it. I thought that was really cool and original as well. Really well done. Thank you so much, AP.
Pleasure, Scott.
And Raconteur, what do you think?
I really enjoyed that one, AP. You know, there's so much that was enjoyable about it, from you know, the fact that you broke out into actual song, but you know, the idea of the beans, I can't always help but you know, cracking that joke about I don't know beans about beans and things like that. So and then you mentioned my other favorite talk about, you know, mental health and crazy insanity. So all of it was very, very appealing to me. I mean, it was all things that I relate to and really enjoy. And you know, you had the story behind it too, and Hatter got involved somehow, and you did a fantastic job with it. I mean, you know, and again, you broke out into a really lovely song too. So bonus, really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Excellent comment. And Hatter?
So this was Melanie Martinez, right? My old
yes,
theme song. Yeah, I
yeah.
I heard you said something about Melanie, but I didn't hear what the last thing. But when you started into the verses. Yeah, it's a lot like Melanie Martinez, getting high off helium. The best people are crazy.
Yes, yes, exactly. Excellent.
Good job, AP. Good job.
Thanks, Hatter.
Excellent comment, Hatter. And thank you so much, AP, again. And what do you got going on this week? You want to plug anything?
We've got a couple of things going on. We've got Linda's open poetry show tomorrow, which is always fun, with Carmine and herself and all the guests that she brings along. So that's good fun. So that's on Friday. And then Saturday we've got open poetry with myself and Hatter and Deb. That should be a great show. And I was going to do, can I do a shout out while I'm here, if that's okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
The first American woman to circle the world globally in a yacht is about to finish that trek this afternoon. Cole Brower. And
she's 23.
She's got an amazing. Yeah, no, 29, but she's got a great following on Instagram. Has done an amazing job, opening up the world of sailing to all of us dumb people who don't understand it. And just an amazing inspirational effort, and she finishes that race in about 4 hours after 4 months. So fantastic effort, wonderful, wonderful achievement.
Yeah, it is.
Awesome. Congratulations. I'm excited to hear about
all
the people's successes.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Brad.
Yeah.
Thanks, Al. And we'll talk soon.
Well, thank you
Bye,
so
peace.
Much.
Pleasure. Thanks again. Talk soon.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Okay, so like I said, I have lots of music tonight, so we are going to be going into music, poem, and I have some... makeup poems that I'll be integrating a little bit in with today. I'm sorry?
The ones that you were going to cover for me, I think Deb did the other night. So the ones that were from my show.
Oh, she did you the other night?
I believe she did.
She did Lockdown Lars and Budho.
She definitely did Lars, Budho, and Titus.
Oh, I did Titus, but okay. So I'm going to take down Lockdown Lars. I'm going to take down Titus. I'm going to take down Jenny the Deep. I doubt that she did the two that, well, one of them was mine, because one of them is her actual D&D poem, and I wasn't sure if she wanted to read that to me. So I'm going to leave hers up there. and we will go from there, because I doubt she read her own poems, and she has two up there as well. Did she read her poem, Raconteur?
Not the ones that she did for my show, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
That they could have written for both shows, so I could be totally making a complete, you know, faux pas of like, you know, not being able to see. They feel the same, but, you know, I just recognize
them, so I can't get them back, so it's done now.
Okay.
Because I just deleted them off the topic board, and I don't know what they were. So hopefully they were the same. And I'm going to go ahead and do the next song, and we'll talk a little bit about it when we come back. So here we go. This is why. My dates are messed up because of the cancel. Okay, here we go. Nope, that's still not it. Please stand by. All right, here we go. For real.
Oh, life could be a dream. If I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom, I'm hoping we'll meet again.
Oh, life could be a dream. If only all my precious plans would come true. If you would let me spend my whole life loving you. Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Now every time I look at you, something is on my mind. If you do what I want you to,
baby, we'd be so fine.
Oh, life could be a dream. If I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Shaboom, shaboom. Ya-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Shaboom, shaboom. Ya-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Shaboom, shaboom. Ya-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Shaboom. Shaboom, shaboom. Now every time I look at you, something is on my mind. If you do what I want you to, baby, we'd be so fine. If I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom, and hoping we'll meet again. Shaboom, shaboom.
Hello, ding-dong. Shaboom, ba-do-ba-do-ba-day. Life could be a dream.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Life could be a dream. If only all my precious plans would come true. If you would let me spend my whole life loving you.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Do you, shaboom, shaboom. Do you, shaboom, shaboom. Do you, shaboom.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
We'll be right back.
So I have to really be honest with you. It's been a long time before I realized that Johnny Depp did not do the singing in this. So I think a lot of people might still be think that. But let me talk about the first song. The first song was Shaboom Shaboom. Oh, just Shaboom. And it was by The Chords. And this doo-wop classic, and this information is from songfacts.com. You should check it out. I always get my song facts from them. They have a great array. And it's a doo-wop classic was the only hit for The Chords, who were an R&B group from the Bronx. The five members of the group wrote the song in 1963. Article in the Saturday Evening Post, Jerry Wexler, who was executive vice president of Atlantic Records, used the group as an example of the vocalizing nature of the music business. He quoted, and I quote, he said, "What happened to them? They just disappeared. We had one group, The Chords, that had a hit record for us in 1955 or 1956. It was called Shibum. It was number one, but all their subsequent records, none sold." Now, I think one is a house painter, and one is a pants presser, and one is writing songs, and one is trying to get back into the business as a singer. Later in 1954, a group called the Crew Cuts recorded more mainstream version of this song, taking it to number one on the Billboard charts. So there you go. And then, of course, I did say that I would give you a little bit more information since we did the time for doing Young was James Intveld. I don't know why I'm having a hard time saying that, but so a little bit more information. As a songwriter, he wrote Crying Over You, recorded by Rosie Flores and released on her 1987 self-titled album. And My Heart is Aching for You was covered by Sonny Burgess and Dave Alvin in 1992 comeback album, Tennessee Border. So he also was the lead guitarist for Blasters from 1993 until leaving the band in 1995 to pursue his own projects, including acting in a solo album, which would be released in 1995. So it's a little bit more about James, and I hope you enjoyed that. Oh, I downshifted everything. Now, Hatter, you wrote a poem, but it was for The Sound of Music, and I'm still doing that show. So do you have a different do you have a different you want to share tonight? Hatter? Did I lull you to sleep with the music?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. What was the question? I was feeding the cats. Sorry.
I was saying that I do have a poem from you. However, it is...
Sound of Music.
It is from the Sound of Music. Sorry, I'm trying... I realized that Deborah Lee said put a SoundCloud in for the other show.
Is this the show for Sound of Music?
It's the music in general, Musical March.
No, this is not the show for the Sound of Music. Hold on, please.
Oh, okay.
This is not the show for the Sound of Music. This is the show for Crybaby. However, I didn't look at your poem. Did you write it for the Sound of Music or just for music in general?
It's one I wrote that has Bad Boys in it. I saw that was one of the titles. That's not good.
for 16 going on 17?
That's the one I was trying to write to. So I forgot
about
that.
Yeah, that's great. So, no, but I figured it out just by reading one line. I just skimmed it real quick. So I'm going to keep for the Sound of Music, if that's okay. And you can, because tonight is Crybaby, yeah. So, and you can put down one you would like, a different one that you would like, because I'm going to save that one. And I'm going to try to get Deb's SoundCloud in here for the IOU for Rack and Tour Show, and then want to go from there. So I'm actually going to say two little things. I'm going to say Tom Cruise, Robert Downey Jr., and Jim Carrey were all considered for the role of Crybaby until Johnny Depp was cast. I could have seen Tom Cruise. Actually, Robert Downey Jr. would have done a good job. I don't know if I would have liked Jim Carrey. I'm not sure.
How about Jared Leto?
Carrey could have pulled it off. He could have pulled it off.
Jared Leto.
Yeah. Probably. He had the hair. He definitely had the hair. Yeah. All right, so while you're looking at her, I'm just going to go ahead and truck along and play two more songs while I'm trying to figure out Jeff's poem in the studio here. So, and then you find me a poem, and we're going to do two other songs. So here we go.
Lazy, but I know Betty. Yeah.
unmuted.
Well, she's got long pauses sometimes.
Just kidding. No, I was muted. So I hope you enjoyed that. And we did hear from Rachel Sweet. Thank you so much for telling me to unmute. And she was the other vocalist who sang for the main character, the female main character, and Amy LeCain. And I'm not sure if she was credited, but I would like to know. But I really just didn't know for the longest time that these guys were dubbed over. But she was born in 1962. She's an American singer, television writer, and actress. She was born in Ohio. Because she pursued her singing career so young, she dropped out of high school to concentrate on her career, but she was still required to devote time to her studies. Sweet resumed her education via correspondence courses, and she eventually graduated from Columbia University with a degree in French and English literature in 1988. She began her singing career at age 3 and won an electric garage door opener in a local talent contest after singing "I'm a Little Dutch Girl." She began recording commercials at the age of 6, toured with Mickey Rooney, and performed in Las Vegas as the opening act for Bill Crosby at the age of 12. She began recording country music in 1974, but with little success beyond one minor hit. And switching to rock and roll, she signed to Stiff Records and released her first album, Fool Around, in 1978, dropping out of high school to concentrate on her career, although she was still required... Oh, I already read that part. Sorry. I'm rereading. And she released only one more album in 1982, Blame It on Love, which featured Voodoo. The video for the song was played on MTV, and she performed the song in the music TV show Solid Gold, an album she recorded track for in 1982-83, remains unreleased. So, yeah, it's a little bit about her, and, like, it still blows my mind. All right.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. Have you guys seen the film?
Crybaby?
No.
That's like, it was a cult movie a while ago. Like AP mentioned, you know, it was very, very popular for a time. So,
yeah.
It's been a while. And
yeah, I didn't know Melanie Martinez had anything to do with it. Wow.
Well, all right, so we're going to go with, I think I'm still, this is still loading up here. It's taking a long time. Let's see if it is loaded up. If it is, we're going to, I know, I've seen you got two, Hatter. I do see you got two.
Well,
I got one that I'll actually sing it live.
Okay, all right, I'll get you guys on. I love singing live. I'm going to play Deb's IOU poem, though, for Rex Show. And then we'll go, what's the name of yours, Rack and Tour? Do you want me to look it up?
It's Pure Disdain. I don't have the link handy, but, yeah, it's you should be able to find it.
No, I'll get the link. I'll get the link. Okay. All right. So we're going to go Deb, then we're going to go Hatter, and then we're going to go Pure Disdain.
It fits your Crybaby theme.
Okay, awesome. All right. Well, singing fits it anyway because I said write to any of the themes. Music is a theme, so I'm okay with music. But I'm going to go ahead and play this. This is for your show, Rock. I'm going to let you comment first when it's done. So here we go.
A Rant by Deborah Lee. People just walk past. What if you looked in the car? My house is by a tourist destination. People travel here to explore the site, camp at fireside lots or quaint log cabins. Cool lake fills up with canoes at first light. Smell barbecuing food, riding blown breezes. Swim all afternoon, go gambling tonight. Sounds like a wonderful family vacation. painted picture is not all black and white. 39 miles to the nearest casino. Now, listen as I share with you my plight. And when I'm finished the gist of this story, that you agree what you hear is not all right. Sunshine and rainbows darken as giggles melt when children learn sickening feel of fright. Moms and dads desert their babies inside cars, even left the kids sleep alone overnight. To see salty, teardrop-stained little faces ignites red-hot fury, makes me want to fight. World full of couples longing family ties. Men, women, cry themselves to sleep each night. How do these parents lock their kids in cages? How do they treat their children with such slight? They pack no snack, dinner, or water to drink. Just park them stranded and scared without light. Then you pick up the telephone to call police. Family blames you and trouble they incite. They hand these babies back to hard parents to do it all again another night.
Excellent piece. And Raconteur, like I said, this was for your show in Extremes, and so I'm going to let you comment first, actually.
I thought it was great. I mean, you know, Deb has a way of telling a story that really catches your attention, and she just always hits the mark when she's trying to describe the emotions that are involved. Well, not trying. That's a bad word to use. when she is describing, you know, the emotions that go through her head, and she conveys them very, very well. You know, the whole idea of the futility sometimes of you know, someone's actions, and the safeguards that are supposedly put in place to deal with things like, you know, child abuse and whatnot. So, you know, she mentions, you know, giving the babies back afterwards and stuff like that. Just the idea of it sometimes, it really kind of screws the face of logic, and you want to shake somebody and be like, you know, who thought this was a good idea? And she does that in a very poetic way and explains, you know, what kind of why it's as silly as some of us might think it is. So lovely piece, Deb, as heart-tugging as it can be. Thank you.
Excellent comment, Rash. This is a hard one to read. And when you think about it, you know, so much of it is just, all of it hits right on the mark. And the thing about it is she gets down to the, and you mentioned it a little bit too, and you get down to the bottom where, you know, she states and they're given back. And, you know, reunification, I understand. And as somebody who grew up, you know, in a different situation, family home, going back and forth, not for such, you know, those kind of reasons, but also working in the field that I do with children with trauma mm-hmm. cases and backgrounds like that, you know, it's like really, and you see these kids at school and they struggle so much, and this is, I mean, like they're struggling, and a lot of these kids are rehomed permanently. And they still have years of recovery ahead of them, and they're not even with, you know, their original parents now. And I think at some point you have to say what is best for the child. And yes, unification is always a beautiful thing, but if it's harmful, more harmful than it does good, then, I mean, there's a time when to say no. It needs to stop, and the child needs to be safe and cared for. And, you know, going through everything that you did, Deb, it's hard to read, it's hard to swallow, it's hard to listen to, but it is the truth, and it happens more often than people really want to say. And, I feel like I live in a really good town, and there's all kind of dysregulated children from, you know, it doesn't matter where you live. Like, it's just, you know, kids are victimized. So this was an incredible piece. And, of course, I know that you call it your soapbox piece. I call it advocacy. We can meet in the middle and say we're both right. And I appreciate you bringing that. And Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, that's – nothing angers me more. I mean, my gut was wrenching just following along. You know, it wasn't that long ago that the courts would hand back their kids to addicted mothers.
Yeah.
I witnessed some of it firsthand. We almost adopted two little girls, and we were going down to the last weeks before we're going to go through. And the courts handed it back, the two little girls back to their mom, and never know what happened to them. It's just sad.
All right. Excellent, excellent piece, Deborah Lee. And, of course, we still have two more. We have the one for you for tonight, and we still have the Warlock one. So we'll be hearing a lot from Deb tonight. I'm going to go ahead and play two more songs. And then, actually, I'm going to, before I do that, I do just want to... actually, I'll do that after. So I have some trivia, and I was going to do some trivia, but I think I'm going to wait until that after. So I'm going to play two more songs, and we'll go from there. And then we'll do Hatter's poem. We'll do a couple trivia, and then we'll do Hatter's poem. And then we'll
go from
there.
So I don't think mine follows this thing.
It's okay, Hatter. You're fine. You're making comments. You're being part of the show. You're fine.
Man in town, all the women know, he goes by the name of Nosy Joe. Don't care if they're married, he takes his pick. Long as they're women, he's ready to stick his big nose in their business. His big nose in their business. That's Nosy Joe, the nosiest guy I know. Well, he ain't good looking and he ain't big and strong. That guy's got a nose that's 4 foot long. I'm telling you, women, this ain't no jive. If you get too close, this man will drive his big nose in your business. His big nose in your business. That's Nosy Joe, the nosiest guy I know. I saw him just the other day, trying to steal my gal away. He offered her money, he offered her love. She said, thank you, sir, but please don't shove your big nose in my business. Your big nose in my business. That's Nosy Joe. He's the nosiest guy I know. My buddy caught him with his chick. Chopped off his nose, now he can't stick his big nose in my business. Big nose in your business. That Nosy Joe, the nosiest guy I know. Dig that nose.
Awesome. And a little bit about Bull Moose Jackson, who sang Nosy Joe. He was Benjamin Clarence and Bill Moose Jackson. And he was born in 1919 and passed away in 1989. He was an American blues and rhythm and blues singer and saxophonist who was most successful in the late 1940s. He is considered a performer of dirty blues because of his suggestive nature in some of his songs. And he was born, like I said, Benjamin Joseph Jackson in Cleveland, Ohio. He played violin as a child, but became quickly drawn to the saxophone and started his first band in Harlem, the Harlem Hotshots, while he was still in high school. In 1943, he was recruited as a saxophonist by the band leader Lucky Mildner, and the musicians in Mildner's band gave him the nickname Bull Moose for his appearance. He began singing when he was required to stand in for Winona Harris at the show Lubbock, Texas, and he was encouraged to sign a solo contract to play rhythm and blues. The first recording of his is known as I Know Who Threw the Whiskey in 1946, and so I hope you enjoyed. And I hope you enjoyed a little bit about him. And I do have a trivia before we go, Hatter. Do you have two poems up there? So I just need to know which one you want to do. So just be prepared for that. And I do have a little trivia. The lead actress in this film, she was almost, the lead almost was considered Drew Barrymore. So that would have been an interesting change. I don't know. I mean, I love Drew Barrymore, but it's hard to see when somebody's on a roll to see how somebody else would have done it, but I just don't think she would have been the same. And I am a huge fan of Drew Barrymore. I just don't know if that's a role that I would, you know, be like, oh, yeah, like Drew Barrymore. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Maybe it was the high voice. But, again, it might have been different.
Is it dramatic? E.T.
I don't know. I think she can do drama. I think Drew Barrymore could do anything.
Oh, sure.
I really love Drew Barrymore. But I just I don't know. I'm having a hard time seeing it. So I'm not sure. But like the original Hairspray in 1988, this John Waters movie was adapted into Broadway musical with all new songs. Unfortunately, it ran for just under 2 months, April 24th to June 22nd, 2008. Waters served as creative consultant for the stage show. So that's interesting that it went on the road for, All right, which one do you want to do?
The first one had the bad boy term in it. The second one is more about music. So
whichever one you want to do, you pick.
Well, I like the quest, the first one, the quest to see your eyes.
Okay.
This is the one I wrote for the fellow artist that lives in another country that had a love interest that wouldn't commit to her. So I acted like a romantic interest to her and wrote her a poem. And this is the poem I wrote that brought him in closer, and they got together, but there was one provision, and that was that she had to get rid of me. So I couldn't have been her, be her friend no more. So I don't know what happened. She was a psychologist or a counselor at a prison in Wales. And she called her guys bad boys. She called the guys bad boys, her bad boys. So this is the one that got me. She had to get rid of me. I couldn't believe it. Quest to see your eyes. I request a reflection of your soul, the one that said goodbye. I have come for you from far away on a quest to see your eyes. The addictions that follow you, the ones you thought was I. No mask to hide intentions, no mask to hide your eyes. I am the words you fell in love with, the words that made you cry. I want to know what bad boys see when they look into your eyes.
Excellent poem. I'm still processing the story you told me as well. This is a lot to chew on, Adder. I just want to say that wasn't a very nice friend to just leave you there.
The whole idea was to get her, to make her happy, and I waited out. Now, did I do a good job for who I considered a friend? Yes, I did. Am I so selfish that I would make a problem for her to live the rest of her life with someone she loved? No, I couldn't be that guy either. So
yeah, I know, but that's,
I have to look at it,
really controlling. I understand your perspective. You don't want to be the problem, and you want to just walk away, and you want to be a good friend. And I'm not saying you're not. I'm saying the other person is not. So that's just my opinion. I'm just going to stick with that.
Yeah, we conjured up a scenario that would make him show his colors towards her feelings. She thought somebody, she was flirting with somebody else. So it worked.
Yeah,
it worked,
so that's manipulative.
But we didn't see.
I can't get on board
with
any of it.
That's just the way it was. I mean,
I can't. Some people, that's how it works. Unfortunately, I don't know. I can't get on board with that, but I can get on board with your poem, and I thought it was quite beautiful. I loved how you say, how you bring in the eyes. You keep going repeatedly back to the eyes. You know, there's that saying, "The eyes are the windows of the soul." But I like down at the end when you're like, when you say, "I am the words you fell in love with, words that made you cry. I want to know what bad boys see when they look into your eyes." And, of course, I feel like a lot of – I don't want to say – well, yeah, you say woman, right, because they're bad boys. I don't know, but I feel like a lot of people really get drawn in by the edginess of people, the sharp edges. And a lot of the good guys or good women or people that are more loyal and tend not to be so rash and bold, they kind of get the backstage of things, and it's just, I don't know. But it was very lyrical. It was very musical the way that it was written. So even this, and I know that you open up with the song most nights, you know, the blog talk opens up with your words you cannot say. I feel like this one, too, is very musical and could definitely be written into music as well. So I really enjoyed it. I think it was a great addition. Raconteur, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, this situation screams at me in so many different ways. You would think as a psychologist, you know, if somebody's trying to tell you who you can have as a friend, that would scream red flag. But, you know, she went with it, and that's kind of surprising to me. But, you know, the poem itself as just, you know, a tribute to, you know, the whole idea of a relationship, and I want to call it a long-distance relationship because, you know, you're asking to see her eyes. So that's one of those things that, you know, when you get curious about someone, you want to look into someone's eyes because, you know, that reflects back who they are in so many different ways. And you know, like the expression, you know, the eyes are the windows to the soul, too. You know, sometimes when you have feelings for someone and you look into their eyes, that kind of cements the situation on top of everything else. So I remember when I was younger and a little more unreasonable, when someone wanted a break, I wouldn't accept, like, you know, if they said it. I'm like, you know, you got to look at me and say, you can't, if you tell me, you know, I don't want to see you anymore, then that's okay. But you can't do that, like, on the phone or, you know, through someone else. You have to tell me to my face. If you tell me to my face, I'll walk away and I won't bother you again. So you know, that kind of winds itself into this for me too. Even though that isn't kind of what you were going, the other way about, you know, look into my eyes and you know, tell me that what I see isn't real, you know. But you don't even say that either. It's all kind of implied about someone's feelings and the relationship between the two. So I really enjoy it for that. You did a fantastic job with that.
Thanks, Jack. Yeah, now she was the counselor, I guess, the counselor, and she told me that these were not your petty thieves, these were heavy.
Yeah.
They were in a federal prison for big crimes, bad, her bad boys is what she called them. And
yeah.
and the relationship she was so wanting to have was very complicated from what I was told. And I got one side of it. It involved other people, and I wasn't going to question her heart by any means. I just didn't see that coming, that she had to let me be my friend. You know, because you run across certain individuals on, like, this was on Facebook, and it was just Yeah, she's got hundreds of people that want to be her friend, but she chose me because of something that I had written. And so that started our friendship and got to know her. And the connection, I thought, was really, I mean, I was maybe 2 months. Well, we were able to talk. That was all it was, 2 months.
But the reaction I would expect is, you can't tell me who I can and can't have as a friend. That you know, what kind of a trusting relationship is that? You know,
I knew her for 2 months. I know she is a complicated thing. I'm not going to question her heart. What weighs more in her life, where she's at? If I could look into her eyes and know her better, I could make judgment. But I can't. I don't know enough. I had to respect her decision.
Yeah, yeah.
I just did, you know. And I don't feel bad about it.
I don't get that, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't question her, right, her decision that she made. I mean, it's her life. And I hope she did well. So next.
Awesome. Okay.
I like to come down and help the humans. I like to come down and help the humans now and then.
Moving on.
And he's like, who else could I help in their relationship? All right, Hatter's ready.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to play my next song. Hatter, that was brilliant. Brilliant story, brilliant poem. I'm going to play my next song, and I really love this one, so here we go. Bum, 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 bum.
Hellcat,
high school Hellcat.
Oh, that stopped abruptly. Sorry about that. All right, so I'm not going to talk about High School Hellcats because we did talk about the singer who dubbed over Johnny Depp. But I am going to talk about Mr. Sandman. And even though this was a cover, I'm going to talk about the original. So the cover was done, and we did talk a little bit about her as well, Rachel Sweet, Jerry Buckley, and Timothy B. Smith. But it was a cover, so I am going to talk about the original song. Mr. Sandman was written by the songwriter Pat Ballard and first recorded by the Cordettes. It became the first hit for them, staying at number one for an amazing 7 weeks in 1954 and launching their career. They eventually went on to peak into the top 40 9 times total. And they were Ginny Osborne, Nancy Overton, Lynn Evans, and Carol Bushman. This song is an excellent example of their main form, singing close harmony in cappella with minimal accompaniment. The Cordettes kept up the wholesome, sweet angels image throughout the 50s and into the 60s. Their second biggest hit was Lollipop in 1959. I love that song. I'm just saying. Lollipop. I mean, who doesn't really like that? Everybody knows that song. Yeah? Am I the only one here?
Lollipop.
Ba-boom, boom, boom. All right. I like Sugar Sugar better, but that one's good too. Yeah, I love that. That was like one of my, so my mom, my godmother who partially raised me, she was born in 49, so she's 70, she'll be 74, 75 this year, something like that, 74 maybe, 75. So she really raised me on doo-wop music, so, like, I just loved, like, Leader of the Pack and Sugar, and, you know, a bunch of oldies. Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, I was very partial to, so she pretty much brought me up on that, so. All right, so Raconteur, I'm going to let you sing to me, but I was really bad, and I didn't go get your poem, so what was it called again?
Pure Distinct. It was. I actually wrote it to the tune of Bob Seger, Still the Same. But really, it's kind of vaguely to the tune. It sounds a little familiar to it, but that's the only thing it has to do with the song. But I had to mention it because that's what went through my head when I wrote it. So.
Okay.
I'm doing this, as you know, I can't see, so I'm doing this actually from memory, so.
Yeah. All right. So, Hatter, do you have the link? Hatter?
Unmuted?
He heard
I was going to sing, and he left. I'm sorry. I chased your audience away.
Yeah.
I won't sing. I'm sorry.
Just start singing.
Can you hear me now?
There you are.
Oh, shit. Okay. Gotcha. It was the other mute button. Okay.
The other mute
button. All right. Do you have the link, Hatter?
I'm working one-handed here. Hold on.
Let's talk about shows.
Yep.
Let's talk about shows while Hatter does that. Okay, so you can ask Hatter now. All right. Let's hold the show.
Yeah, I got it.
Do you have me, Hatter? Okay, good. All right. Sing away, my friend. Sing away.
Okay, this is Pure Disdain by Raconteur. You walked away, laughing as I writhed in pain. It's not okay, treating love like it's a game. Emotional scabs you picked in vain. Not a glimmer of remorse or shame. Just pure disdain. Heart of stone, now a tune for every feeling you've known. Monument to the damage you've sown. Sit judgment on your lofty throne. Rending flesh to the bone. Till you're all alone. Last refrain. Lamenting behavior I can't hope to explain. Psychological shrapnel exploding with blame. Till my whole world crumbles from the strain. And I've gone insane, gone insane, gone insane.
Absolutely brilliant. You know, when you were singing that, I was thinking, I think I heard this before, but I don't see a comment. And then I was looking, and it's already on my bookmarks list, which means at some point I heard this, and it's been sitting on my bookmark list. Listen, I've been trying to get my bookmark list down for ages. It's down to, like, 70. And I did have it down to 60 until tonight, then I put some stuff on there. It was up to 100. You know how I feel about my bookmark list.
Yes.
Almost like my content. So I do apologize for not commenting on it yet. It was absolutely brilliant. I loved the rhythm to it. And, of course, it takes a lot of guts to come on air and start singing. But you did it wonderfully. And I could hear you said as soon as I start singing, you're going to be able to hear it, what I'm trying to sing. And I did. I heard it right away. But it was interesting. And I don't know if I know the lyrics enough of that specific song, like by heart, to know what you switched. But I know that the thing about parody is that you gotta keep the beat and switch up the words and put it in your own way. And I may not know all the words to that song, but I definitely know the rhythm, and you definitely nailed it. And of course, the content, you know, Heart of Stone. Now you're a tomb for every feeling you've known. I really, really love that. A tune for every feeling you know. One thing I love about lyrics, and I have like this very useless gift of remembering. It's really useful. If I could replace all the lyrics that I know in my brain for like more useful information, I would do it. Although I do love singing along, I mean, I'm not a great singer at all, but the thing is like I flip the channel and like I know a lot of lyrics, and a lot of people are like, you know, you know like every song, and I'm like, well, I don't know every song, but I know all the songs I listen to. And it's because, I think it's because I really love words, and music to me is poetry just in lyrical form.
Yeah.
And when you have someone who writes great poetry, you're going to see that within the lyrics. So these two lines, the Heart of Stone, more of the now a tomb for every feeling you've known. It's really that one line, that idea of that. I mean, there were other wonderful lines too, but I just really, really love that. And you could tell that a poet wrote it. So I like how lyrical it is, but you can still tell it as a poem. And I like that in lyrics. I mean, that's why I love Meatloaf. Meatloaf is one of the best songwriters. I just love his songs because they're all stories. It's all poetry. I mean, it's just excellent. Excellently done. Thank you for bringing this. Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll do anything for you, but not that. I won't do that. I liked it. I heard Stevie Wonder, Mi Amor.
Oh, cool.
Was it the silver cloud that I adore? Yeah, at the Heart of Stone. Somewhere in there, that's what I heard. Yeah, it was, I like the way you started with it. You walked away laughing as I writhed in pain. Yeah. know what that feel is.
Well, you know, the rhythm was really the only thing that came from the Still the Same song. So there's no lyric that I even borrowed or switched or anything. It was just that cadence of bomb, bomb, that just stuck in my brain. And, you know, that's where it came from. So I had to mention it. But that's the only thing, thank God, and I'm sure, you know, Bob Seger is very thankful that I didn't borrow anything else from it. So.
Seger's cool.
All right. Awesome. Excellent. All right. Thank you, Rack and Tour. And like I said, without further ado, we are going to plug shows at this point. And the next show is Sweetie going to be back from Arizona? She's making me jealous, sending me all these pictures. And I'm just like, I want to take those pictures. So I don't know if she's on tomorrow. So stay tuned because she's going to have a topic board up. And I don't know if she's going to be home by then. So, but on Friday, Liquid Damage Lounge presents Open Poetry. So stop by. She's on at 10 and bring a poem. It's open, so you could bring whatever you like, actually. And then on Saturday, AP already plugged, so we are all set for that. And then on Monday, it is Personal Prompt Monday, and it goes live at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And she's got – I did look at them already, so don't worry. You don't have to be subjected to my – I like this one, this one, this one, this one, although they are very good. She is celebrating the color. I know. It's like descending into the hole. They are very good, but I did actually look at them, so you don't have to stay here and listen to me describe pictures. But you should go check them out, definitely. Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't see this one before. There's like this really. I'm gonna have to go reserve 5. I'm gonna go do that right now, actually. So anybody who wanted the trees. Sorry, you can't have them. I'm just going to reserve it now. So it's a personal prompt, so everybody gets their own picture. Yeah, I have to write more.
They're not trees, they're ants.
Yes, they are. Well, you just wait for my token show because you're going to know why we have ants. And it's because Ivana, she was married to you, and he created he created, listen, there's a whole reason why.
I baited you. Just I knew wait. You would. Go ahead.
I baited me. I know. Well, because there's a whole story behind it, and I'm not going to give it away.
Uh-huh.
But it's because of Ivana. It's because of Ivana, and that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to go any further anymore.
Okay.
But it's a really cool story, and it's why we have ends. So, to protect the trees. That's it. So go check her out, 10 o'clock. Pick your picture, reserve it. There is a word bank. It's optional. The course is all the colors of her crayon box, so check that out. On Tuesday, I think it's Hatter's Jukebox. It is. Do you want to plug that, Hatter?
Yeah, we'll be visiting the birds.
Sorry.
You're visiting the birds, Roger McGuinn,
okay.
David Crosby.
Oh.
And friends.
Sweet.
Awesome. Okay. And then we're back to me on Wednesday, so we've come full circle. And I just put the topic board up, and we are celebrating a musical march all March. And it's going to be Sweeney Todd. So if you like Sweeney Todd music, if you like Sweeney Todd trivia, it just so happens I'm into Johnny Depp. It's not because like I'm obsessed with Johnny Depp. I do love Johnny Depp, but it's just I happen to just these are just two musicals that I enjoy. So we are celebrating Sweeney Todd. So come back next week where I'll have Sweeney Todd music. And that's it. Okay. So what I'm going to do. We still have an IOU from Deb. And it is her warlock one. So I'm going to, oh no, we still have one for her for this show. We're going to do that one. Oh my gosh, Jeff, we're getting behind here. So I'm going to go ahead and put hers down for this show that she wrote to after the music. So here we go, and got into that.
Treasure that's shining bright.
Awesome. So I have to tell you, I'm super tired today, tonight, and I'm still, am I on mute? No, I'm not. Okay, good. I was so jiving to that music. I keep muting myself, so I was like, I better check. I'm still kind of like, I'm so tired, but I was still beep-bopping here. So the first one, of course, was done by the Jive Bombers, and the Jive Bombers were an American R&B group from New York City. They consisted of members of two previous vocal groups, Sonny Austin and the Jive Bombers, and the Palmer Brothers. They first recorded under the name The Sparrows in 1949 for Coral Records and changed their name to the Jive Bombers in 1952 to record for Citation Records. Their 1957 Savoy Records single, Bad Boy, co-written with Avon Long and Lil Hardin, was a hit in the U.S., peaking at number 7 on the R&B singles chart and number 36 on the Billboard Hot 100. The song has since been covered by The Escorts and Buster Poindexter, a.k.a. David Johansen, and Shanana, The Others, and Others, and I cannot read, and it was used in the 1990 film Crybaby, which is what we're talking about now, so great. And the second song was done by Shirley and Lee. It was The Flirt, and Shirley and Lee were an American musical duo active during the 1950s and 1960s, consisting of Shirley Goodman and Leonard Lee. They had R&B hits with their songs Feel So Good, Let the Good Times Roll, and I Feel Good. Shirley Goodman lived from 1936 to 2005, and Leonard Lee, June 1936 and 1976, were both born and raised in New Orleans. While attending Joseph Clark High School, they recorded a demo for I'm Gone, a song Lee wrote at a studio in New Orleans, and that's where they got their start. So they were never a couple. They became known as sweethearts for the blues, but they were never romantically involved, but which is good because they probably wouldn't have lasted so long. They'd probably break up. I know, that's such a naysayer, huh? I know. Some stay together, I guess. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to have, we're going to go back and we're going to read, I'm going to read Deb's poem that she wrote for tonight's show. And then we'll go from there. I did not drop it, so we're going to go back here. Are you guys? Well, it's not like you guys can really say no, right? Because then I'll be mad at you. But you guys liking the music?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, it's beginning, the original rockabilly.
I'm looking for where to put the quarter in the jukebox, baby.
Yeah, Callaway stuff.
Awesome. All right, here we go. Is that who you said it? Who reminded you of?
Yeah, Cab Calloway played that kind of music. He did Minnie the Moocher.
How does that go?
He had his own orchestra. It'd be tough to try to.
It, or?
Minnie the Moocher. I wouldn't be able to do it right now. Got my hands full of art. But plays in the Blues Brothers. He's in the soundtrack of the Blues Brothers. Me the Mutual.
I haven't seen that. Like, I know it. Aykroyd, right? Dan Aykroyd in it? Yeah.
He's got Ray Charles. Cab Calloway's got James Brown. Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good. I just haven't seen it yet. So I know I'm like old on the train here. too many projects. Rack and Tour had mentioned, where do I put the money in the jukebox, quarter in the jukebox? And it just so happens that Deb's poem, the picture that she posted with it, has a jukebox on it. So look at that.
Well,
Send
Deb a quarter.
I know. Do you click on the poem, Hatter?
I've got my hands full right now, and I can't drop what I have.
It's okay. Well, I'm gonna keep going then. I'm gonna keep going. So I did not pre-read this. I probably should have, but here we go. I did not pre-read it. Some books are judged by covers. Some people are too. By Deborah Lee. At dances in high school gymnasiums, teen girls with hairspray on their veins snap bubblegum and giggle at jocks, decked out in lettered cardigans. Teenage girls wear ruffled bobby socks with black and white saddle shoes, dressed in poodle skirts and ponytails, as staring boyfriends try to hold in grins. Rock and roll records spin in a neon jukebox, and chaperones glare as a teen's jitterbug, dancing the Lindy Hop and the Stroll, rhombus and hand drive and twists. Little guys with slicked pompadour hairdos strut by in leather jackets and biker boots. Then girls walk away from their boyfriends, yanking pink corsages off their wrists. Hormones fuel the teenage rebellion. Mothers shake heads with frowns on faces. Prim and proper schoolgirls step across the tracks. King of cardigans strikes up a flame-filled plan. He frames the leader and his pack for arson. Then they are sentenced to prison for setting a fire. Jocks in cardigans are the criminals, not the bikers. Now can the pack see karma playback every entitled man? And, of course, she wrote to the show. Let me see. I'm going to go ahead and read what she wrote for the author's notes, though. High school jocks tend to believe they are entitled to any girl they want. Those same guys act like good boys in front of others, but their true colors shine through whenever they don't get their way. Judge a book by its cover, and you may miss the real story inside the pages. Judging people by the cover can tell a different story, too. So I thought it was great, wonderfully written, and I liked all the words. I was a little nervous about pompadour, but I did it. I seen it, and I was like, oh, my gosh, that's a big word. What are we going to do? And it's an uncommon one. I really liked how you brought in the jive and the rumbas and the Lindy Hop, and it reminded me of one of my other favorite songs, because we were talking about how I grew up listening to the oldies, but one of my favorite ones is Leader of the Pack, and then it's like, I met him at the candy store, right? He smiled at me, you get the picture? Yes, we do. That's when I fell for the leader of the pack, and then he gets into an accident, and he dies. It's a terrible song. I'm not going to sing it, but I do know all the words, because I do know a lot of the words to these older songs, and I really love it. I have it on record, actually. I have it on vinyl. That one was my mother's, so I have all her vinyls, and I still have that one. So,
What other songs you got?
Oh, I've got a lot.
45s.
I don't have 45s. I used to have, I didn't used to have 45s. My mom used to have 45s, but she lost them within the move. But she moved out of her house it's been quite many years, you know. But she got divorced and she moved, and a lot of the stuff got kind of misplaced with the move or moved out. And the 45s were also in that lot, and she had only given me the records at that point, so I did not have them in my possession. So unfortunately, And she did have 8 tracks too. She had quite a bit. But what I was saying was that it kind of reminded me of that song and that idea. And then of course musical as well, the idea of, okay, well, we're going to get these people in trouble. We're going to act good, but we're actually going to do this. And then they go to prison for it. So I like how she kind of put that scenario from the musical, and she overlaid it into a scenic unfolding of this type of error. And I liked how she's talked about the judgment of also not only the, you know, the squares or the jocks, but also of the parents. And I always ask my mom, and, you know, she's always like, I'm young, but like I mentioned, she's in her mid-70s. And every once in a while, I'm curious. I'm like, is it weird to, and I don't mean to, like, call her out or anything, but, you know, I'm like, is it weird going through so many generations? Like, I think about her music in the 50s and how, I'm sorry, I really have to cough, and I don't want to cough live. Hold on.
cough.
Yeah. I think about her mom, and I think, I'm trying to see if I have cough drops. I think about her mom and what her perspectives were, and her growing up, like, she was born in 49, so she was probably, you know, under 10. And I feel like I was born in 86, but I don't really remember the 80s because I wasn't old enough till the 90s. But I feel like she was early enough in the 49 to remember at least some of the 50s because she was still, I mean, by the end of the 50s, she was like 10.
She's the beginning of the baby boomers.
Yeah, yeah. So like for me, when I can't really say I'm an 80s child because I was like four when the 80s were over. So four,
they,
yeah. Well, I was no. Three. Yeah, but I don't really remember.
Yeah, but they don't exclusively play the 80s, you know, they have throwbacks and they still play it like in the 90s and whatnot. So, you know, there's that comfort level of it, you know. It's familiar even if it's not, you know, recognizable entirely.
Yes. So maybe like the films that were popular in the kids' movies in the late 80s that spilled over into the 90s, I remember a lot of those. But I would say more, like, culture-wise, I'm more familiar my childhood in the 90s. With that said, like I said, my mom, I feel like she had the whole decade. So she really did go through the 50s. In some aspect, and then the 60s, and then the 70s, and then the 80s, and then the 90s, and I just, when I think about that, I just ask her, I'm like, is it weird to see all these decade changes and culture changes, and from like what, like, oh, you can't do, Elvis can't do his dance, like it's you can't show his hips on TV, to like what we have now, like it must be so weird. And then she's like honestly, and I asked her this once, and she was like, she's like, you don't notice it when it happens, and it just changes, and that's just it. She's like, I just don't notice. Back to your poem, Deb. That's what it reminded me. It reminded me of the conversation with my mom, and it reminded me of, like, that whole idea of culture changes and perspective changes, because when you started talking about the parents and the chaperones and them judging their music, and, you know, I always say that, be quick, and when my godson pulls out his music, I always try to bear through a lot of it because I remember being like, hey, like, look at this music, and my mom's being like, what are you listening to? Like, this is crap. Let me put on REO Speedwagon. I mean, I love REO Speedwagon because of my parents, but they were like, don't listen to the, you know, they, you know, and so I try to be a little bit more understanding. There's some I just have to say, shut that off. I just can't take it. But I try to be more accepting. So, yeah, great poem, Deb. Wonderful conversation starter. I appreciate it. A rock and tour, what do you think?
You know, to have a song about music and use the word cover in the title was brilliant, even though she's not mentioning it like, you know, a cover band or covering a song. So That opening was great, just to lead into it. And you know, the songs that she mentions, the dances, she definitely captures era, you know, Poodle Skirts and the Lindy and things like that. You know, it has that feel to it, and you know, I could almost hear, you know, the songs in the background from even the earlier years. So I thought it was a lovely piece, and very nostalgic. And even though I didn't live through that stuff, like I was saying, they still kind of play it, and it still pops up in places that you don't expect it. And, you know, someone older will always be like, you know what that is over there, or, you know, you don't realize it, but that's what's playing in the back. You know, there's connections to that stuff that just are very enduring that you kind of don't realize. And it's because it was so well written and composed, and you know, the effort that went into it seems so different from some of the stuff that now is like, you know, almost throwaway. So it feels more solid, I think, too. And there's a lot of emotion in it. And like you said, you know, she's got the emotion of the Judgment and other stuff woven into it, too. And that was also from that era, you know, the whole, you know, greasers and good boys and bad boys and whatnot. And the inevitable judgment that you know, the kids had to live through, and the parents kind of some were like hip and they didn't dish it out, and some weren't. So I really enjoyed the piece, Deb. Thank you.
Excellent comment. And Heather.
Last, yeah, I really like it. Yeah, okay, no pressure there. No, I like the way she went there. You know, and what you guys were talking about, I lived through the 60s, the music. I was on the near San Francisco, and it was that's where Haight-Ashbury, Winterland, Fillmore West, Cow Palace, all those places. It was the birth of rock and roll. And there's a whole generation behind us that has rediscovered what we call classic rock, the early, you know, the super bands, the early stuff from the Stones, Cream, the Doors. It goes on and on. And they still, that's a company, they say Jimi Hendrix made, you know, $9 million last year. He's been dead for 40-something years, but it's the rediscovery of the talents back then. You got to remember, they didn't have mixing boards. They didn't have effects. They had a Marshall amp, a clean mic, and a guitar.
And lighter fluid.
Speaks a lot about, lighter fluid. Yeah.
Awesome. That was a great last comment. And wonderful for the music, because a lot of the music that we are featuring is older, and I loved it. I loved it even when I was a kid, this film. So I do want to talk about one. I missed one opening song to talk about it, and that was Earl Bostic. He did the jungle drums, and he was born Eugene Earl Bostic, and he was an American alto saxophonist. His recording career was diverse, his musical output encompassing jazz, swing, jump, blues, and the post-war American rhythm and blues style, which he pioneered. He had a number of popular hits such as Flamingo, Harlem Nocturne, Temptation, Sleep, Special Delivery, Stomp, and Where or When. And he was born in Oklahoma. He played clarinet in his youth and saxophone with local Boy Scouts troop. He turned professional at age 18 when he joined Terrence Holder's 12 Clouds of Joy, and he made his first recording in 1939. And then we are closing out with two songs. One of them is Sherry. We already talked about the group, and so I'm not going to go back into that, but which is a Jive Bombers. But we are going to be talking about Nappy Brown, and that is the first song that we're going to be closing out with, which is My Horse Goes Piddly Patter Pitter. And he was born Napoleon Brown Goodsman Klump. And he was born in 1929, passed away in 2008, better known by his stage name, Nappy Brown. Was an American R&B singer. His hits included 1955 Billboard No. 2, Don't Be Angry, Little by Little, and Nighttime is the Right Time. His style was recognizable. Brown used a wide vibrato, melissima, and distinctive extra syllables, in particular, Lee, Lee, Lee. And he was a son of Catherine Culp and Sammy Lee Brown. After his mother died, he was brought up by Fred and Maggie Culp and attended a school and church in North Carolina. And the church is important because he started off singing gospel music before switching to R&B. So, go ahead, Heather. What was you saying?
No, I wasn't saying anything. I don't think.
Oh, I thought someone said something. Sorry. All right, so I want to say my thank yous. I want to thank Raffentor, Hatter, AP, Deborah Lee, for all calling, for all contributing, and for bringing poems, conversation, and for sharing my musical march idea. And helping me bring it into fruition. I honestly didn't think, I was curious of how I was going to get the songs in because I put so many, there's 14 songs. And I was curious how that was going to work out. And I think I had more poems tonight than I usually do.
Yeah, but songs back then were only a minute and a half. Songs back then were only a minute and a half long.
Yeah, and, well, like the Stairway to Heaven. I'm going to write down, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to write down some of the ones that I have, because I just have so many, I mean, I don't have like a ton of records, but I have a lot of records. I'm going to share that with you next week. I'll tell you your answer. All right. I could tell you some of them, but I can't tell you the, you know.
Yeah.
I do have like.
Give me a taste.
So,
give me a taste.
Is that album
in
the
Chipmunks? No. Well, I've got the Sound of Music. But I have the Mamas and the Papas. I have the Beatles. Not the White Album. That's
California
Dream? I have that album.
Okay.
Yes, I do. And I have Frankie Valli. I have, what's her name? Nancy.
Lou Christie.
No. I have Nancy Sinatra, yep. I've got quite a bit. I've got a Black Sabbath. Carole King. Carole King was my mom's. I've also got my aunt's records as well. I've got like a different decade as well. So my mom's, and then I have my birth mom's, a few of hers that she had, like Madonna. And then I also have...
It's got to be Tapestry. You said Carole King. It's got to be Tapestry,
right? It is Tapestry, yeah. And I love it, and
yeah,
I love that one. That's one of my favorites because one Carole King song is me and my birth mother's song, and it is her record that she used to listen to as a teenager in her room, like just listen to it. So, like, it is pretty special to me. That's, like, probably my... one of my favorite ones for that reason. So,
you know, to Deb, it's Lonely Girl. Lonely Girl.
Ours is when, if you've got a friend. That's me, my mom.
James Taylor? Yeah.
So.
Okay. Do you have any Barry Manilow?
No, I don't have any. All right, but we're over time, so I will get a detailed list for you folks. We'll talk more about it. We'll talk about it more next week. I definitely do not have Barry Manilow. But all right, so thank you guys. I think I said everything I need to say. And we're going to play out with two songs, and then we're going to end the show. So I'll see you guys next week or before then.
All right. Ready.
goes biddly pat the patter, biddly pat the patter. Every time I look at you, I don't I know what's the matter, what's the matter? Why biddly pat the ooh ooh? My eyes go biddly pat the patter, biddly pat the patter. Every time I see you smile, my heart goes biddly pat the patter, biddly pat the patter, biddly pat the all the while. I guess it's 'cause you're lovely. I guess it's 'cause you're sweet. I guess it's 'cause you're the prettiest little girl my eyes will ever meet. I wish I had a penny for every pitter pat. I have so many pitters, baby, till I wouldn't know where they were at. My heart goes biddly pat the patter, biddly pat the patter. Every time I think of you, I don't know what's the matter, what's the matter, but I think it's 'cause I love you.
La 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 la